This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. He's set to join us in just a few moments. Deputy Secretary of Agriculture at USDA is Xochitl Torres-Small. She notes an upcoming USDA-led ag trade mission to Angola.
This is actually my first trade mission. I'm really excited that it's going to be happening in Africa. It's building on President Biden's U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit, where the administration is working to expand and deepen our relationship with countries on the continent, also expanding efforts through increased training and technical support for their Continental Free Trade Agreement and expansion of trade through a recent trade mission to Kenya and Tanzania. Negotiations with Kenya, a regional leader, have also started for the Strategic Trade and Investment Partnership.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll have some contact information coming up in just a few moments. But first, Bob, let's start with the latest from USDA looking at cattle. It's the monthly cattle on feed report. What did you pull from those numbers?
Well, what I pulled from those numbers was, I think the market pulled from those numbers because the market traded higher today. And I know that over the years, joked around with the nickname that has been for this report, which is the cattle on feed report, meaning a lot of times, many times, it seems, you get the numbers from the USDA, and they would suggest, based on balance, whatever the number was compared to the average going in, that the month should go up, and instead wake up on Monday morning, because this usually comes out Friday afternoon. You wake up on Monday morning, and the market does the complete opposite. But today, the market moves higher. So the October live cattle futures gained 140 at about 180.20-ish going out, somewhere around that neck of the woods. Feeders had a relatively good day, too, with the October feeders up 210, coming out somewhere close about 252.80 by the day's end. And the surprisers, I guess, were the August 1 on-feed number at 97.7 versus 98.4 guesstimate going in. So 0.7% to the good side in terms of a bullish number, all right, a little bit less expected. The number was a big surprise, 9.7 versus 94.5. So that was almost 3% differential, and usually this doesn't get it off that far. So that one's definitely a bullish scenario, a bullish surprise. Marketings were pretty much as expected. It came in at 94.7 versus 94.8. So really what this market is telling us is that the on-feed numbers are still showing up at a level that indicates that supplies are relatively tight out there, you know, looking historically speaking. The placements number is also indicating that, you know, we're not getting a whole lot being placed, and maybe we also might mean that things are looking somewhat out there in the field. I'm not sure in terms of pasture conditions. So maybe that also was a bit of a number that, based on how things have been trading over the last year and a half, 2 years, with what we saw last year, the big push of cattle off of the pastures into feedlots and the big bump that we saw up there, well, maybe we're starting to see a little bit of the ramification of that, which is maybe placements come in a little bit lower now relative to what had been expected, you know, in the past. So might be working on the dynamic. The other thing that I think was a takeaway was just looking at generally the trends, and I guess we'll look at, you know, year by year comparison. So in terms of the cattle on feed inventory, the on feed August 1 number, it basically this year's pattern so far from January through now is pretty much following along with last year's pattern, where we basically saw steady to sideways numbers up until about the June inventory number. And then we saw a dip in July and August. So far that seems to be trending like it was last year. So no, I guess you could say no big surprise based on the tendency last year compared to what's happening this year. However, on the placements number, there is a deviation. So basically it's a little bit choppy. Last year was a little bit choppy in terms of the amount of cattle being placed on feedlots. the 1,000-plus capacity feedlots, that is, between January and, let's say, May. And then in May, we saw a dip, just like we did this year. So this year kind of followed along similar pattern. But last year, this time, between the June and July, we actually saw an uptick in the cattle placed. And again, referencing the drought, we saw a pretty good move of cattle being taken off of pastures and into feedlots because basically the pastures were just garbage last year, my interpretation. And this year we saw the opposite. So we didn't see an uptick between June and July in the cattle place. We saw a downtick. And, that's what I'm talking about, a little bit of divergence there. So we'll see if that continues. Watch that closely, because that could be a ramification of the psychology of the quantity of the crop going, the cattle that is going in the feedlots down the road. A little bit of divergence are. And that one, and then the marketing numbers, fairly close to last year's pattern. Maybe numbers aren't the same, but in terms of just the high lows into the cattle market, that one has pretty much closely held last year. So again, placements was the bigger surprise, and I would show up in the numbers that the biggest surprise to the downside relative to what the trade expected. So all that said, that was a lot said, but all that said, I think that the market got this one right with a higher move in prices today, and we'll see if there's any kind of follow through. Now, in addition to the cattle on feed, we go back to our week to week data we get and try to take that information and discount it and make good decisions, either escalators or trying to hedge using these markets. And you think these right now are really what's going on in terms of demand. The USDA attaché in China, they said to China's imports to decline in 2024. And this is a ramification in their opinion due to the economic headwinds that they're going through now. And that was evidenced by the recent cut in near-term interest rates in China. So we'll see how that plays out, because we like the fact that we have been selling our beef to China and we want to continue to do so. So we can continue to watch that. And then in terms of domestically here in the U.S., slaughter numbers were decent week on week. Last week's slaughter was 616. That's 616,000 head. That was up 13,000 head from the previous week. So that moving along, that's the thing. The box beef cutout was higher, roughly, I think, about $14 higher week on week. So that's a good thing. The cash market softened a little bit. Southern Live generally trading about a buck lower week on week, and Northern Dressed generally a buck lower week on week. So keep an eye on that one. That said, there seems to be thought process out there right now that Packers probably will remain active in the cash market, given that the box prices are still suitable to making money. So we'll continue to watch that, continue to see how aggressive they want to be in terms of their throughput, because obviously that's going to be a big demand side equation for the character too. Those are the fundamental aspects that I'm looking at. In terms of the chart itself, if you look at the October cattle futures, I generally think we're kind of ranging, found a bit of a value zone, and the value zone right now is about, let's call it 177.5 up to about 184. We've had a couple probes higher and lower, but I think that's where the meat of the matter is. So I think we're going to be in that range over the next couple of weeks. A couple of things that can knock us out of that, obviously, is any kind of huge, and it's kind of hard to frame a huge move in the ag markets in terms of corn, wheat, and soybean trades today, because there's been relatively large volatility. But if anything really tips its hand in terms of one-way direction, in terms of those markets, then obviously that might be able to push the cycle futures and the feeder cattle accordingly out of the ranges. So we'll just cash, see where it decides to settle this week. Keep an eye on the input markets there. Go from there.
Okay, Bob, let's about 3 minutes left here. Gives us just enough time to hit the highlights on grains and oil seeds. What are we watching there?
Well, weather and more weather. I think the main takeaways right now are, what's happening in terms of some of the extreme weather that we've seen. And it's not just extreme heat. We know that. We know we've been mired to that. But we're also getting extreme precipitation. And we see this visuals of what's happening in California. And then, interestingly, your neck of the woods, I mean, south of you, exactly, but, you know, they're just there with that potential tropical storm working its way through and hopefully dumping at least some precipitation in some of the parched areas that might get touched in that lower cent part of Texas that's in that deep drought, you know, that would be good. So some of these weather extremes that we have to keep an eye on and keep trying to discount. I think the other thing is that obviously the geopolitical situation with Ukraine, that's definitely had an impact on the wheat market. Some of these wild ranges that we've seen have just been settling. And I think it's just everybody out there, even though those have been doing it for decades, that you got to be on your toes and ready to, you know, hit that marketing button and have your levels if you are a hedger. And also, if you're a speculator, you know, go ahead and take your shot, but also make sure that your left wrist is up towards your chin because it'll be on the defense also with these moves that we've seen. Crop conditions are important, right? So they have improved last week, and this afternoon we'll get the latest data on this. We're going to see those crop condition indices. There was a 2% increase in corn week on week in that good to excellent category. There was a 5% increase in soybeans. There was a 1% in the spring wheat. There was a 2% improvement in pasture range conditions for the cattle guys out there. And in terms of the cotton, there was a 5% decrease in the good to excellent category. So, again, see what kind of precipitation certain areas might get in Texas when that tropical storm hits like it should, to see if that improves that much. So crop conditions are really important to watch also because we did come out of a rather parched time and we're starting to see some improvement, and we'll have to see if that's a sustained new thing to be watching. We should be getting some data from the, Pro Farm crop tour that begins today. We might be getting some information as soon as tomorrow as to what they see with their boots on the ground, and we'll be able to get that information too and, you know, plan accordingly.
Okay. We want to talk one-on-one. How can we do that?
Sure. Pick up the phone. Give me a ring. Number is 312-987-2053, or you can reach out via email. It's bmaurer, that's B-M-A-U-R-E-R, at manduca.com, or come visit our website at myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Maurer's with Manduca Trading Chicago on today's Agribusiness Report.
Supporting the High Plains cotton producer is the number one priority for Plains cotton growers. Since its inception in 1956, PCG has focused on being the advocate for High Plains cotton and a respected voice on cotton issues. Protecting the interest of the High Plains cotton producer requires a dependable, dedicated organization focused on getting results, and cotton producers depend on the organization they founded, Plains Cotton Growers. From the halls of Congress to the turn rows of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Bob Maurer online, mandukatrading.com.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
American agriculture creates millions of jobs, all the while feeding and clothing the world. But with many policymakers so removed from the farm, attacks on farm policy threaten our livelihood and quality of life in rural America. Our strength is our willingness to work together for the benefit of all. That's why business and farm leaders have formed the Southwest Council of Agribusiness, to defend the bedrock of our economy and our way of life. This is Larry Combest. The Southwest Council of Agribusiness is at southwest-council.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Higher rice yields from the previous month in USDA's August domestic balance sheet. This is World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski.
Rice yield increased by 100 pounds per acre, which leads to about a 2.6 million hundredweight increase in domestic production,
offset by an adjustment to last marketing year's ending stocks,
reflecting an increase in our export forecast, all reflecting higher exports of medium and short grain, which we raised 2 million hundredweight, more than offsetting a reduction in our long grain forecast,
meaning a rise in ending stocks for the 2023-24 marketing year.
We also raised our season average price forecast, increased to 70 cents per hundredweight to $17.70 per hundredweight, and that reflects the very strong global prices that we've been seeing, particularly for long grain rice. So our long grain rice forecast was actually raised a dollar per hundredweight.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.